contribution. You see, already the 10-minute break that those workers got in the morning, mid-morning, and mid-afternoon is gone. The potable water that we fought so hard with, individual cups, it's gone. The tremendous fight that we had to have separate restroom facilities for men and women, it's gone. Child labor, we fought so hard, it's back in. You see, we know that the growers were misled. They were told that the boycott was not going to work. And possibly they were told that the administration would take care of our boycott and would do away with it, as they tried to last year. And I'm sure that they were told that they were also told that the workers would not fight for their union. And when they really misjudged is when they were told, the Teamsters told the growers, the FL-CIO and George Meany will not support the farm workers. We know better. And they're very surprised in Coachella now. Those growers, the reports that I got back this morning is that when they heard the news, they said, oh no. You see, our experience with the Federation, with the FL-CIO, has been a good experience. We've been able to get through to them when we needed help. George Meany's experience in organizing farm workers back in 1937 in the same spot where we're organizing today gives him a very complete understanding of what we're involved with. The support that they gave us in money and manpower, pledging 4 cents tax on every member throughout the Federation is something very, very unique. And something I'm sure that those who know labor history and know the movement will have to agree with us that this is strong support. For the record, we want to say that since we became a part of the Federation, we've experienced respect. You see, George Meany, Bill Kircher, the other members of the council understand what we're trying to do. And they said way back in 1966 that the farm workers had a right to have a union, unlike the Teamsters. I remember President Meany saying these workers have a right to have a union back in 1971 when we were given the charter as a national union. If you can press that with what Ina Mohn of the Western Conference of Teamsters said a couple of weeks ago in an interview with the Los Angeles Times, he said, we're not sure that we're going to have, that the farm workers are going to be having meetings for the next 2 or 3 years. These Mexicans don't know, I'm not quoting him, but something to the effect that these Mexicans don't know how it is. Well, they can't run their union, their meetings. It'll be a while before we can do that. And he said, maybe by then, the machines will come in, and he said, and all these minority group people, including the Chicanos, will probably go somewhere else, and those machines will be driven and operated by the white workers, and then we can have meetings and have a union. It's on the record. I was told that I had 20 minutes, and so I'm trying to restrict myself to 20 minutes. You know, we're confident of the future. We're not afraid and we didn't panic, but you see, we've been through this. Our entire life has been one of struggle. In November, in the general elections in November last year in California, an attempt made to destroy our union by giving us a carrot and stick treatment, by giving us a piece of legislation that had so-called free elections, and then clobbering us on the other side by taking away our right to boycott and our right to strike at harvest time. And we went out to the people in California. And the other side committed perjury, falsified records. Five of those men are in prison today. and spend reportedly over $1 million by the American Farm Bureau Federation, and we beat them at the polls almost 60-40%. And we thought that this is a great victory. Now, we've gone the whole route with the workers all over the country with a boycott. Now we're having an election over a piece of legislation that's going to determine how the people in California feel about us. They didn't deter the opposition. They've got the same piece of legislation introduced in California right this minute. The Farm Bureau Federation, in the last 2 years, has gone to something like 37 states and introduced legislation, and we beat them in every single state except Kansas, Idaho, and Arizona. In Arizona, we told the governor, if you sign that piece of legislation without talking to us, without the workers being able to be at these hearings, they had secret meetings so we couldn't testify. We told them we'd recall them, and we did. We needed 105,000 signatures. We went out in the course of 8 months, collected 160,000 signatures, and the recall is on, probably the first time in the history of the country. And so we're confident of the future, because you see, we have nowhere else to go. If we don't fight for the union, what is there left for us to do? We don't have to worry about investments. We don't have to worry about pensions. We don't have to worry about our home or our car or our airplane. We have nothing but one thing. We've got only one thing, it's the workers. And we are as dedicated as they are. And let me tell you, the Teamsters inherit a lot of headaches. Non-violently, we're going to move the consciences and the hearts of the American people until they, with their help, we throw them out of the fields. Until we get those growers to understand that they're not only fighting a union, they're fighting an idea. They don't understand that when they take the worker on, they're taking the worker, they're fighting the wife, the son, the grandfather, the grandmother, the first, second, and third cousins. They don't understand that when they take our union on, they're going to have to fight a lot of people. Especially in the kind of disgraceful union-busting activity that the Teamsters got themselves involved in this one. When we came into the labor picture in 1962, our people were getting 80 cents an hour. And through a lot of struggle and sacrifice, the minimum wage in the new contract that we just got is $2.40. And people working in lettuce are getting more, and people working in the wine grapes are getting more. We had now, workers had no idea what health care was. Got a small health and welfare program. In 3 years, we built 5 clinics. We're now building a retirement center for workers. Let me tell you, all of this without a cent from the Nixon administration. Not that they're offering it. If they did, we wouldn't take it. So, friends, if it means that we have to fight again to establish an honest and a democratic union, and if it means that the workers have a right to have their union, we accept the challenge. If it means we have to fight to get what's ours, we accept the challenge. We're not going to sit back. We're not going to relax, and certainly we're not going to die. We're going to fight however long it takes, because we have understand that the other side has money and we have time. Friends, you see, the whole idea of a union has to be understood very well. Otherwise, people will make the same mistakes that the growers are making and the teachers are making. It's a union. But it's a kind of union that it carries with it tremendous dedication. The kind of union that's been able to arouse in the workers an awful lot of loyalties and willingness to sacrifice. You see, the workers don't know any other union. And whomever deals with them, if the Teamsters keep the contracts, they're going to have many headaches with them, because they were used to. We structure a union with our help in a very special way, that every crew and every wrench have their own elections and their own democratic group. Every worker can participate. The biggest criticisms that the employers have against us, when you get them down to talking, besides all of the other stuff that they, all of the horror stories that they say about us, almost invariably they say, yeah, the big problem with that union is that they're too damn democratic. And we make no apologies for that. Friends, we're going to win our fight. The workers are going to have their own union. The farm workers deserve their own union. And we're saying, those of you who are here and agree with us, please don't eat lettuce. Don't eat grapes. Thank you very much.
Good many questions for you. First one, please be more specific on how the Nixon administration was or is involved in trying to put your union out of business.
It was the Nixon administration who first, as we understand, got Frank Fitzsimmons and the American Farm Bureau Federation together. It was the Nixon administration who played a part in having Fitzsimmons be invited to the Farm Bureau Convention in Los Angeles last December. The Nixon administration has refused to investigate and to make public the charges that we've made that the lettuce growers pay money to the Teamsters to combat our union. The money was given by the growers to the Teamsters to hire goons to beat up our people. And we know that the information was gathered by the FBI, but we've not been able to get that department. We've not been able to get the U.S. Attorney in San Francisco. We've not been able to get the federal grand jury who investigated that out of San Francisco to give us any responses. The most we've gotten is that, yes, there was an investigation.
The last issue of Business Week reported that you did not want an election. Is this true, or is it a case of faulty reporting? If true, why?
No, it's not true. It's a case of faulty reporting at the very minimum. We do want the elections. We ask the growers and the Teamsters to have elections. And we tell we will bind ourselves to abide by those elections. If we lose, we leave. Call off the boycott and the strike. You have the workers. If we win, we want the Teamsters out and want the workers to negotiate in good faith. But while we're on the subject of elections, let me just give you a little background. We've been accused by the opposition that we don't want elections, and that's not true. We've had elections. We've had three elections with the Teamsters in 1966, and we beat them over 2-1 at the Sierra Vista Ranch in Delano, at the Borrego Springs Ranch in northern San Diego County, and at the large Arvin Ranch, the Giorgio Arvin Ranch in Arvin, California. And we've had other elections. What we don't want is the election with the carrot and stick trick on us. We don't want to have elections and then have the right to strike and the right to boycott taken away from us. We will accept elections that are fair and equitable, but we don't want to be penalized and lose the right to strike in order to get elections.
Did the AFL-CIO ask you to skip the boycott before approving the $1.6 million strike benefit grant?
No, they did not. The boycott goes on. The lettuce boycott is going on very well. The grape boycott is about to start.
I have several questions here about the present status of the lettuce boycott. And someone asks, are there not some grapes and lettuce we can buy? Are not there some grapes and lettuce we can buy?
There's a few lettuce, few heads of lettuce around you can buy. They, if you ask me, they bear the union, the farm worker union label. It's a black eagle. There aren't any grapes yet because the grape season hasn't come. It'll start around the 20th or 25th of this month in Coachella. The only grapes you can buy are grapes from South Africa and from Chile.
How do you plan to spend the $1.6 million granted by the AFL-CIO?
The money is going to be used exclusively for strike benefits. It's going to go into a strike fund. See, we've never had a strike fund. We've never been around long enough to be able to build one. So this will be our first strike fund.
Do you find your fundraising projects more successful on the East Coast, and why?
The person asking the question knows, yes. Why? I don't know. What we found is that there are certain cities that are very good to us. Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, now San Francisco. Los Angeles, if you call that a city, it's different.
How many dollars have been collected by the Robert F. Kennedy Memorial Health Plan, and how many dollars have been paid out in worker benefits? There's another question related to that. How much money is in the fund now? How much did you pay out last year and so forth? Do you have that information?
I have very close figures, Manat. We have collected about $6 million. This is the Health and Welfare Fund that was named after, in memory of our good friend, Senator Bobby Kennedy. It's a fund that's administered by the union, was administered by trustees. We've paid possibly around $3.5 million. The first year, the first 2 years, we did not pay any benefits. We were trying to get up a reserve. Now, in the last year, 1972, we're now spending about 85% of the money coming in.
Someone asks, actually, doesn't the $1.6 million contribution from the AFL-CIO represent all parts of the country?
Yes, it does. It represents members all across the land.
If the present trend continues of Teamsters signing contracts with growers, who will constitute your membership?
A lot depends how you define membership. The contracts were taken over by the Teamsters, but the workers are still paying dues to our union, and they're not paying dues to the other union. If the trend were to continue, of course, we wouldn't have any members. But it's not going to continue.
Your critics say you aim to be dictator. Do you consider yourself a labor leader or a social leader?
Or a dictator. Or a dictator. You know, my grandfather used to tell me that he used to work in the haciendas in Mexico before the Mexican Revolution, that they were told by the haciendados, these are the hacienda owners, he was very small, don't eat salt, because salt is bad for you, it'll make you dumb. We found out later that the real reason was that salt was very hard to get, it was very expensive. Here today, when workers start getting together and building the power that they need to take care of themselves, they're also told by establishment, power is bad. And the ones that are saying it's bad are the ones that have the power, and I wonder why.
There are two questions on this subject. You have said that more than 80 farm workers are killed every year by agricultural pesticides. That's a serious charge. Have you documented it in a publicly available report to federal or state government agencies or to the AFL-CIO?
It is a serious charge, and I like the federal government or anyone who doesn't believe to challenge me, take me to court so we can begin to get into it. You see, the whole idea to prove pesticide poisoning, and I'm not an expert, But as we see it, and as we come to learn, you've got to have, you've got to run tests on those workers before they get poisoned. So when they get poisoned, you can compare. And it would take millions of dollars. It would take all sorts of medical equipment and medical personnel to run tests, called necessary level tests, on every worker so that we can make the comparison. But we know what the symptoms are. And when you see a man going into a field perfectly healthy, and then at night he begins to bleed under the fingernails, nosebleeds, cramps, begins to see double, and then dies at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning while asleep. And then the report comes out that he died of, usually it was a severe cold.
Do you object to legislation that would bring the farm workers under the National Labor Relations Act? And there's several other questions along this line. Are you prepared to go along with the straight extension of the NLRB Act to agriculture?
Yes, we object strangely to being included under the National Labor Relations Act. It extends. Now, let me tell you why. Number one, we want to be treated like every other union. When the industrial unions got started, they did not get started under the NLRA as it stands today. They got started, as most of you will know, in the mid-30s under the very favorable Wagner Act. And after they had gone for 12 years, then TEF hardly came. But they had a start. They had a treasury, they had members, they had a research department, they had a legal department. They could withstand the TEF hardly. But if you were to put our union today under the National Labor Relations Act, with all of the amendments that has taken place since the 30s, we could not have a union. No more could we have a union than our brothers and sisters in the South, where the employer mentality, even though they're covered under the NLRA, prevents them from having a union. To mention a few problems, how are you going to have elections when you go into when you go into the border areas or to a large concentration area of farm workers, where a farm worker gets picked up by a different employer every day? He goes to work, gets paid at the end of the workday, comes back. Next day he goes to another employer. And it's only a coincidence that he works more than once or twice in the same week with the same employer. How are you going to conduct elections there? What about the timeliness, the time of elections? If we ask for an election on a harvest that lasts 3 weeks or 4 weeks, if the employer doesn't consent, when do we have the election? 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks later, when there's nobody working there? We need legislation